Well, it's always a joy and a privilege to share in the Chinese Community Church here in D.C. Today I want to talk about a subject I really liked. I love the parables. I preached on them before. I've taught Sunday school parables. And today we're going to be looking at a parable. During the past few weeks, we've looked at two from the Gospel of Mark. Richard preached on the parable of the sower, and Luis last week preached on the parable of the growing seed. And today, I'm going to be looking at the parable of the mustard seed, which comes from Mark chapter 4, 30 to 34. In the New Testament, the parables are wonderful teaching ways of Jesus. He uses them to communicate to people. And in many ways, the visual imagery of farming, finance, and life is very Asian. Some of us, we have difficulty understanding the parables because they're about farming a lot of the time. Do we have any farmers here? Has anyone ever been a farmer on the farm somewhere? Okay, there you go. Many years ago when I taught in China, all of my students who were scientists, I asked them a question. How many of y'all are farmers? And they all raised their hand because during the Cultural Revolution, they had been sent farming for some time. And now they were trying to learn English to get back to become scientists. So we in America don't have a lot of experience farming. But the gospel does have these parables. And many of them do have this theme. The gospel of Matthew itself in one chapter, chapter 13, has six parables. And as we are looking at Matthew chapter 4, there's three parables there. 30% of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are parable-type literature. It's kind of interesting. A lot of what Jesus taught was in the parables. In fact, there are between 30 and 60, how you count them. Different scholars count them differently, but 30 to 60 parables. And there's not one parable in the Gospel of John, by the way. Parables are teachings to be understood by Jesus, and most of the time he explains them to the disciples. So the parables have a very clear meaning most of the time. It's only a few of the parables do you scratch your head and you say, what was Jesus talking about? But mostly in the New Testament, Jesus explains the parables to people. And when you read them, you can understand them. The common theme of the parables in the Bible is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, the central concern of the Gospels and everything that Jesus did. In Mark chapter 4, verse 34, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. Today we had an interesting Sunday school class. Stump your pastor. Pastor Richard was the class. So people ask questions, very hard questions. Let me tell you, if Jesus were in charge of that class, afterwards he would take a few of us aside and he would say, now this is what I really meant by my answer. So Jesus wanted people to understand. And the parables, we can actually understand a lot of what Jesus was talking about. We just want to mention that in chapter 4, verse 30, we read, again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? So he asked some questions. What is the kingdom of God like? And I ask you that question. What is the kingdom of God? We've heard the children's story earlier, but what is this kingdom of God? That's a question for us today. Is the kingdom of God this church on Fifth and I with imperfect preaching, imperfect leaders, imperfect members, people who sin on occasion and make their brothers and sisters angry and gossips and jealousies? Some of us, we don't give our fair share in the church. We hold the money back and we keep it for ourselves. We don't give to support the mission. Is that the kingdom of God, the church that is so imperfect? Or is the kingdom of God the good old United States of America, a Christian nation, flags waving, apple pie, A land that consumes more visual, addictive stuff than any other nation on earth. Who no longer wants marriage, it seems. We spend billions and billions on entertainment. We have our own fancy cars and our nice houses, our Home Depots and Lowe's. My wife and I, we just got a house. I can't count how many times I've been to Home Depots before. I can't count how many times I'm going back. But are we building our American dream by building our house and making sure everything is perfect inside and taking care of the lawn? Is that the kingdom of God? How many of you think that's the kingdom of God? Raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Or is the kingdom of God some kind of escapist, pie-in-the-sky reality, a vision of some future place where we go when we die to get away from it all? And some of us want to get there now while we're alive, an escape plan so that we don't have to bear the pain of this present life. Is that the kingdom? Is that what Jesus is talking about? So I'm asking you today, what is the kingdom of God that Jesus talked about so much? In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells the disciples and the Pharisees that the kingdom of God has already begun in chapter 17, 20 to 22. At that time, still, the Roman Empire was in power. The iron boot on the necks of the Jewish people and the rest of the Mediterranean world. People were oppressed. Children were running the streets in poverty. There was hypocrisy in the temple. Corrupt religious leaders, beggars everywhere, sickness, rebels. The culture was falling apart. There was a great need for someone to come and solve the problem. Do we have needs like that today in our world? Are there problems out there that we need someone to come solve them? Last week in adult Sunday school class, Roy Wong was there, and he told us that the Hosannas during the time of Easter as Jesus came through on Passover, Hosanna meant, Lord, deliver us. But it was, Lord, deliver us from our political oppression, which many of the people were looking for. And that was the kind of kingdom they were looking for, this worldly kingdom that would solve the problem. The world today seems to have the same need. We have so much oppression. We need to be saved. We have crucifixions taking place. We have terrorism. But the kingdom that Jesus promised, where is it? Is it faithfulness to family? Familial piety? Honoring our ancestors? Or is it a political solution? We're revving up now for the elections, aren't we? We see them in Iowa. Hillary Clinton, Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, Carly Fiorina, Jeb Bush. We see it taking place. Is our salvation in choosing a leader to run the nation and make everything set it straight? Is that what the kingdom of God is about? What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Jesus asked. Well, my first point is this morning. If you look, the kingdom of God can be seen in the tiny and insignificant. Jesus said it's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. The mustard plant is an herb planted in gardens, a very small seed. It can grow rapidly from that seed to a 6 to 12 foot bush, shrub. Size is about 1 to 2 millimeters. Hard to see with the naked eye. If you're an older woman or man here today and you don't have your glasses, you may not be able to see it. But if you have your glasses, you'll be able to see it. Small seed. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, says Jesus. Friend, with God, there is power in the tiny. The mustard seed has a future. Have you thought about the many people in your life hanging on by a thread and they need just a little hope? You know, as a chaplain, I served in Fort Lee, Virginia. And a lot of the time I would go to John Randolph Hospital, the psych ward, and I'd go to other hospital in Richmond to visit soldiers. Sometimes soldiers, they struggle with things in their life. They cut on their arms or they try to commit suicide. It seemed like there's no hope out there for them. And I'd visit with them and talk with them, and there's a lot of them just had this overwhelming sense of not having anything positive in their life. And this message today tells us that there is hope. And even with a little hope, God is able to do something, is able to enter in and help people that are struggling with circumstances. I think of the disciples and followers of Jesus who were so desperate, looking for a solution, not knowing what to do. So they decided to follow this itinerant rabbi who had no place to lay his head. The Pharisees said he was insane, possessed. The disciple had questions. But that mustard seed, that this insignificant reality in their life turned to something great. The point about this parable is not really the mustard seed, though. It's entitled The Mustard Seed when you read it, but really this parable is about the mustard plant, if you think about it, because the plant grows. My second point today is this. If you open your heart to God, something wonderful can happen. Verse 32. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. It's about the greatness of God. Some have said that you need a great amount of faith, but Jesus says the kingdom of God grows to a plant, that this mustard seed grows to this giant plant, and it reveals the immensity of God's power. The Bible tells us with God all things are possible, and He is able to set prisoners free. I asked you earlier today what the kingdom of God was. You have had time to think. What is it? Now I'll tell you that your ideas are probably similar to the disciples, because the disciples were looking for visible signs. The disciples wanted to see God intervene and solve their problems and their difficulty. And they had history to back that idea up. They thought of the Old Testament, the covenant, how God allowed a theocracy to develop, established a national state where God was king, where leaders were selected, kings were selected underneath God, and these kings were supposed to bring fairness and justice and law, and many of them did. However, what is the real history of the Jewish kingdom? It's a tragedy. So many failed rulers, so many failed kings, so much tragedy, and yet the people at this time were looking for someone to step in and solve the problems of the world. They knew that God's kingdom was mightier than all others, and they wanted somehow God's kingdom to be established. And they wanted people to take charge and to solve these political problems. They expected a Messiah to come, to lead an army of deliverance, to set the Israelite people free, to free them from the Romans. Physical and political kingdom of God to be set up. And the Jews at this time, they had a memory of the exile. They remembered that they were oppressed. They needed deliverance. They remembered that they were set free from slavery. But what happened? There was a continuing presence of leaders who failed. I think of Herod, King Herod, and the political hypocrisy that took place. Is a democracy or a political entity the solution for Christians? What is Jesus talking about when he says the kingdom of God is a mustard seed. I think he's trying to tell us this, that the kingdom of God cannot be imposed from the outside unto us. The kingdom of God is received on the inside, the interior, as we surrender our lives to Christ, as we surrender our lives to God. That is where the real kingdom of God is experienced. This mustard seed is all about our hearts and our minds as we surrender to the living God, as we ask God to come in to us and lead us. And it requires a lot of us. It requires our surrender. It touches our behavior, our hobbies. How can someone be a follower of Jesus if he or she does not grow in holiness, being set apart to serve God? We must be set apart to serve and follow God. What does it matter if everything goes well in my life? If I have peace and quiet, wealth, good inheritance to give my children, but I have no relationship with the living God? I ask us today, what is our relationship with the living God? Do I have a relationship with Him? It is so important for Christians to be able to say, yes, I know my Savior. I know the Lord. Plenty of people in churches I know who have not allowed God to rule their hearts. It is their hearts that God really wants to rule. He wants to be a mustard seed. He wants that mustard seed to go into the ground. But so many times that mustard seed sits out in the sun and bakes. If you're a mustard seed, get in the soil a little. Let that little bit that you are begin to grow and to flourish. What is more important in life? I think a relationship with God and a connection with what God is going to do in life. St. John says, or John the Baptist says in Mark 1:14 to 15, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. That's how it starts. That mustard seed starts with repentance. And that's a mind thing. It's turning around. Repenting of our sin and believing in God. And that little mustard seed, no telling what can happen when repentance takes place, when we surrender to God. No telling what happens. What can happen? Lives have been turned around. I know Richard. When he came to Christ, the whole trajectory of his life changed. When I came to Christ as a soldier in London, England, walking the street, looking for a good time, I took a moment and I said, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. My life changed. So today, I encourage you to consider whether or not you might want to allow that mustard seed to take root, that your life can be transformed by God. Because that's what God wants to do. He doesn't really care so much for the exterior, but He cares more for the interior. You know, it's okay to have a beautiful house on the outside. My wife and I, we got a house recently. The first thing we had changed was the inside. Right? The outside, no, we wait. You know, I'll do my shrubs later. I'll do the roof later. I'll do the back porch later. But the inside is what had to be changed. Thirdly, finally, if you listen to His words, understanding is possible. The parable is about understanding. Christ wants us to understand. With many similar parables, and that's interesting. That means that Jesus told a lot of parables that aren't recorded in the Scripture. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jesus to tell me what some of those parables are. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. Jesus explains the meaning of the parable, the meaning of the kingdom of God to the disciples, but they still had trouble understanding. That seed has to be planted in the ground. It has to be buried. That is what it is when we give ourselves to Jesus Christ. Something is given away and sacrificed. That seed goes into the ground. Friend, today, have you surrendered to God? Or are you still a naked mustard seed sitting on the in the sun? It takes a surrender. Another interesting part of this scripture is where Jesus talks about the birds of the air settling on the big branches, perching there for shade. In the history of Christianity, people have interpreted that differently. In fact, some writers have said, oh, beware, the birds of the air are sinister, evil birds. That's not what Jesus is saying at all, at all. Those birds are simply birds that landed and rested. This church, this Chinese community church, is like this mustard bush, this mustard tree or shrub. There are people that will come from the DC area and who will settle here in this church, who will land for a moment. I pray that Chinese Community Church will be a hospitable place for them. That like that mustard tree, those birds from all over, there's a lot of birds in the world, by the way. A lot of birds out there, all kinds. But I pray that they will land here and they will have a time to rest and to be healed and to be ministered unto by this community. Because this church is also the product of a tree, a seed. You know, many years ago, restaurant workers came here and settled. Pastor Hung, the founding pastor, established a community here and built it. Let me tell you, that mustard seed has grown to be a massive shrub that is an opportunity to minister to others. And so, Chinese Community Church, I encourage you today, if you have new people coming in, if you have birds coming in from some other place, welcome them, embrace them, love them, touch their lives. I hope and pray that we will do this. Paul wrote to a group of Christians in the Philippi. He said, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Philippians 1:6. May God continue to perfect the work of Christ in your life personally. I don't know where each and every person here is spiritually. I know probably most of you are believers and Christians, and that mustard seed of God has been planted in your life and you're maturing and you're growing. None of you are perfect, except Garrett. Right, May? Or me, right, Joe? None of us are perfect, but we're moving ahead, moving toward that perfection. And in the same way, this church is doing the same. And may God bless you and lead you and anoint you as you do ministry in this community. Let us pray. Lord God, we've looked at this text briefly, and we've seen that even in the tiny and the insignificant in life, something great can come. And I know there are people here today that feel tiny. Lord, I pray that they would just plug in to your kingdom, that they would allow the seed to be planted into that ground, and that they would express faith in you, Lord God. Lord, I pray for those who have opened their heart to you. Lord, I pray that the anticipation and expectation of what you will do will be great in their lives. Lord, you are able to take a mustard seed and allow it to grow and to expand in ways that you would never even imagine. And so I pray for the individuals that they would walk away today with an expectation that you are going to do something great in their life. And Lord, help us to listen to you in life. Help us as a community, as a church, to listen to you. And Lord, help us to be hospitable, to open our arms toward visitors, to see new opportunities of ministry and sharing and serving. I pray for your church, Lord, here in D.C., this Chinese Community Church. Continue to give wisdom to the leaders, the pastors, Lord. Lead them and guide them, I pray. In Christ's name, amen.